Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee, your tea, or your water, whatever it is you drink in the morning, and sit back and let's talk about some astrology, human design, and what the energies are bringing for us today. I don't know about you, but it's a hard act to follow this morning after yesterday's morning cafe. It was a wonderful conversation with Angie Witzel about star seeds, something that is a subject that just blows me away. I mean, a friend of mine was sitting here with me yesterday afternoon, and we're just enjoying the sunshine and musing about the information that we received yesterday. Good morning, Mimi. Good to see you out there. And I mean, we were still buzzing, just literally buzzing from all of that information and the truth that we feel somewhere in our beings about beingness, about our connection to the stars. And Angie, I just can't thank you enough for being on the show yesterday, sharing that information with us, and taking my brain and making it spin out, right? Spin out, not out of control, mind you, but just to spin out into, oh gosh, the night sky. Hold on. Thank you, Mimi. I forgot to move my mic closer to me, and it's probably picking up some of the sound from... Is that better? Okay, somebody let me know if my sound is a little better, because it might have been wonky because it's sitting next to the exhaust of my exhaust fan on my computer. So hopefully that's better. I know sometimes if I set it too close, it sounds kind of watery-ish, wiggly, like the wind is blowing at it. So let's see. Let me go back. Still weird. Well, I can see that things are lagging this morning, and I don't know what to do about that. So technology, what can we say, right? We are running a ton of energy right now. And let me see if I move my mic over here. Good morning, Marlene. Good to see you out there. How about now, brown cow? Is it better? I will assume the sound is better on the right side this morning. Anyway, I was talking about the feeling yesterday that I got from listening to Angie and some of the information she was sharing, and the way far outness of that information, the way esoteric and etheric and metaphysical energy that she was, or information she was giving us. But the truth of it was ringing through my whole system. And I mean, I spent maybe, I don't know, 30 minutes after the show yesterday morning looking through everything I could find on the internet about starseeds. I bet some of you guys did that too, because I just found it to be so fascinating. So fascinating. And something, you know, literally there's no way to really prove it. I mean, scientifically speaking, there's no proof. But there is the anecdotal evidence that we have about it, you know, our affinity for the stars and the feelings that we get. I know I walked outside last night before I went to bed, and I just was staring at the sky. And I do that often, as often as I can in the Northwest when there is a clear night sky, to connect visually with the stars. The planet Jupiter was shining beautifully right outside my bedroom window last night. And I was thinking about what dimensions have beings on Jupiter, etc. It was just really mind-blowing and mind-awakening, which I think is quite appropriate since today the moon has moved off into Sagittarius, and it's filling us up with the energies of freedom and adventure and taking a look at things that we don't normally look at, exploring new ideas and new concepts. And it's a great energy for us to use our minds to explore, not to think our way through something or solve problems, but just to, you know, literally explore and see what magic our world holds for us. And somebody let me know if the sound is better. I still seem to be lagging in if I look at myself in the little box over here, I'm like 2 or 3 seconds behind where I am physically. I hope that the sound isn't doing that as well. If it is, just let me know. And hopefully when I can produce the video, it'll be better. I don't know. I can tell you where I suspect this is all coming from. And that is one of my little adventures yesterday in seeking knowledge after our conversation yesterday morning. I was doing I have a monthly reading I do with several people, you know, like attorneys, they hire people and put them in on retainer. Well, some people have me on retainer and I do a monthly reading for them. And I was doing her reading yesterday and she goes, "Oh, I just got an alert from spaceweather.com. Oh, I'll just read that later." And I said, no, read it now. I want to know what it says. And then I realized I had stopped getting information from spaceweather.com, which was kind of strange because I loved getting their updates. And one of the updates that she was reading to me was about the lack of sunspot activity. Now, believe me, if this was this time last year, I would have known exactly what the sun was doing because I was always looking at that information. And because the sunspot activity, you know, whether we believe it to be so or not, really does have an effect here on Earth. Physical effects that science can measure and spiritual effects or psychological effects that we can't necessarily measure, but that we can certainly tap into and understand is what's going on. So here we have a sun that for 59% of the days in 2018 so far, we have been sun spotless, no spots on the sun whatsoever. Now the sunspots are activity areas where it's hotter. It's a hotter area than the rest of the face of the sun. So when you see that black spot that's roiling and, you know, bubbling and it ejects a solar flare or a CME, a coronal mass ejection, that is the sun and its engine that's humming. And it, you know, it is a place where the heat is being let go of. But of course, we're used to the cycles of the sun, right? The sun has an 11-year cycle of activity versus followed by inactivity or low activity, not inactivity. And the sun, we're not expecting it to be at solar minimum until 2019 into 2020. But here we are in 2018 and already 59% of the days, 60% if you count today, are already sun spotless. So how does that affect us here on the planet? Because I think that's an interesting thought process for us all. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I was really looking at this concept, the concept of global warming. And I remember because I'm on a mailing list from this guy that is a scientist, but he's also a metaphysician. And good morning, Michelle. It's good to see you out there this morning. Who else have I missed out there that I didn't say hello to? Marlene, I said hello to you. Mimi, I said hello to you. Where's our Suzanne this morning? She's not out there yet, unless she's quiet in the background. What effects do we feel here on Earth when there is the solar minimum or when the sunspot activity drops like it is? And that takes me to this newsletter I was reading from this guy the other day about how global warming, and I know this because I was going to college in the early 90s and I was studying biology and chemistry and physics, and I knew that the global warming model was sort of made up and that it was a misreading perhaps of data, a skewing of data. And not that I think that we haven't had an effect on the globe in terms of the heat or in terms of the pollution level and how that's affecting Mother Earth. That's not it at all. But that very thought that we have that we are so important in the grand scheme of things that we're creating this global warming flies in the face of the power that the Earth has all on her own as a sentient being to regulate her own planet or her own temperature or her own health. And not only is the Earth a sentient being, but she's part of a system of other planets that we could also consider to have their own sentience. So even though we, as stewards of the globe here, must take care of our planet and do everything that we possibly can to keep her clean, to keep the air and the water fresh, we are not the sole cause of the things that go on the Earth in terms of temperature. And the sunspot activity is a part of that regulation of the temperatures here on our planet. During the sunspot lows, like right now, the Earth is being bathed in lots of high energy particles. We call them cosmic rays, but they're really made up of gamma rays, X-rays, radiation energy. So you know that, for example, when you're flying in an airplane, you're closer to the thinner area of our atmosphere, and because of that, you have a higher rate of radiation than people here on the ground. Usually, it's no more than what you would get in the dentist chair, getting X-rays on your teeth. So it's not something that we worry about our health. But the same rays that are the reason we worry about radiation and X-rays and gamma rays and cosmic rays is because they have a mutative effect on life here on the planet or anywhere in the universe, such as it is. So during the lows in sunspot activity, we see a spike then in the highly charged particles entering the Earth, and that translates into evolutionary impulses that we can use to grow and evolve and move forward. Or, like we typically do, we go kicking and screaming into that evolutionary energy and we resist, we dig in our heels and we decide, no, we don't want to change. But the forces are very powerful at this point in time, right? Oh, we are being overpowered by the forces of the universe that are imposing an evolutionary path on us. And when I say imposing, I don't mean that in a negative way, because we all know that evolution is necessary, right? Or we get stagnant, we don't grow, we don't move forward, we get into this very rut that we're in right now, right, in our world, where we feel like we're at a stalemate with everything going on. No one can agree on anything. Everybody's fighting one another in some way on a governmental level. This is really powerful. You can see it every day in the tweets that 45 cents out and in the just the whole dynamic, right? And now comes along this solar minimum with the potential to really increase the amount of change. Change over time is, usually a slow rise. Let's see, can I do that? A slow rise. And when we have this kind of thing, then we can expect a spike in our learning curve and in our evolution. And that isn't always comfortable, but it's about to happen. And of course, we are expecting already that kind of change because of Uranus moving in to Taurus in the next couple of weeks. And of course, Taurus is a sign that does tend to stick its heels into the ground and hold on tight, right? Not, goes into change, kicking and screaming. So we do have this potential then for a lot of change to come at us. And a lot of that energy might be directed at all things to do with the earth, the environment, the earth itself, the waters, the trees, the plants, everything, right? The whole of the ecosphere could be affected by this particular. If there is anything that I will see that's going to be affected, it's going to be the value that we as human beings place on what it is that we're doing to the earth. And I'll tell you why. There's another astrological thing. But before I get into that, one other effect that low sunspot activity has on this planet is in reducing temperatures. Right, it's almost like one of those negative feedback loops. There's positive feedback loops, and there are negative feedback loops that help keep a balance on the planet. Like in your body, if your body temperature goes up too high, then you begin sweating and you begin to feel thirsty, so that you have to drink more water, which then acts as a cooler in your system. Well, the Earth is a sentient being. She has all these different systems in place that act to keep her in stasis. And stasis is homeostasis, we call it. Homeostasis is just a balancing of the systems, and that there are many feedback loops, both positive and negative, And I don't mean that in a judgment sort of way, not at all. It's just sometimes it's you're moving forward and the body's doing something, and then other times it's turning something off. And the earth does the same thing to try to keep things in stasis or homeostatic so that we don't have big swings in temperatures or in climate. The climate changes slower than we might think it does. And one of the ways that the earth keeps us in that stasis is through storms, right? Big hurricanes and tornadoes and the big Pacific storms that hit us and then go across the country and become Snowmageddon storms that they, you know, talk about that march across the country. That is one way the earth acts to keep things in balance, to release heat, as it were, or release energy. So the earth is a sentient being, and she does have these ways of being able to control and moderate her systems. And low sunspot activity is another one that helps the earth cool. And almost every sunspot low is met with lower temperatures here on Earth. And, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind, I was wondering about this exact same thing when Saturn moved into Capricorn, because Capricorn is, from an astrological standpoint, a cool sign, cooler. And so Saturn is often the weather maker in the astrology of the world. And it is one of the forces then that could perhaps allow the Earth to cool. And there is a specific time in Earth's history called the Maunder Minimum, if y'all want to look it up. It was a real true time. It lasted in the late 1400s to the 1600s, where the Earth cooled significantly, and to the point where, you know, people, crops failed in the northern countries of Europe, and sent people into famine. And it was not a pleasant time for sure, but it was an extended period of time where the earth cooled, linked perhaps to the sunspot cycle, linked perhaps to volcanoes that spew tons of particles into the air that also blot the sun and reduces the temperature here on the earth. So, bottom line, temperatures on Earth are falling at the moment, perhaps brought about by the sunspot activity. Does it mean then that we're not responsible? And that's where I draw that line, right? We may not be the cause of all that is happening on the globe in terms of warming, but that doesn't take away our responsibility for taking care of her. And now there's an astrological component that I wanted to share with you all this morning. Today, and yesterday actually, the North Node, which we know as our destiny, the life path trajectory, moving through the sign of Leo for the last several months, since last July, is today conjuncting the planet Ceres, the dwarf planet Ceres. Let me reframe that so we don't get confused, right? We got to keep Pluto and Ceres in their proper perspective, and they are dwarfs. And that doesn't make them any less powerful. And some of the themes of Ceres we've talked about before. I did a radio show, like three-part radio show on Ceres and Pluto. But right now, Ceres conjunct the destiny point is really leading us to these themes. And the themes that we see are the fact that we're caretakers of the earth. Good morning, Suzanne. And as we've just come through the Beltane window and the cross quarter of fertility and connection to earth and her natural cycles, we have a destiny that takes a look now. We have a connection to destiny that has us really thinking about resource management versus resource depletion, right? You know, I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I swear to you, there are times that the beautiful hillsides are suddenly barren. Like one day there's trees and the next day they're gone as the forest is, you know, being used for her resources. And, you know, I know they're really good about replanting here, but it's a little disconcerting at times to see these beautiful emerald hills and then the next day they're brown and gutted. But a part of being on the planet is the ability to use her resources, but here they replant And so pretty soon we'll see those brown hills return to green. The problem comes in not so much when that's happening, but when we overuse the resources that are here. And Ceres will bring that to our attention in very powerful ways. And of course, we also have the connection that Ceres has to food and nutrition and digestion and the whole energy of transformation on the planet. Remember, she's the goddess that takes us from the 6 months of the year that we think of as the harvest and the dying off of life, and then through the winter where everything is at its quiet and still point, and then the fertility and potential of spring, and then the fullness of summer. So we have these natural cycles. Ceres brings us to that natural cycle. So I think from an astrological standpoint, what we're being asked to do is to come back to more of that natural cycle. And what are the things that we can do? We can't necessarily make other people out there do what we want them to do. Suzanne just put up something that says we really should be using hemp for all the things we use trees for. And in one respect, I totally agree. I don't even understand what it is. I do. It was an economic deal and to help save farmers that were doing cotton in the South and yada, 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 all things that were based on an old past. But we have to be able to, as individuals now, take responsibility for how it is that we are caretaking the planet. And that's what this is all about. The North Node is your personal destiny. It's moving through these different signs and bringing these things to our attention. And right now, when it's conjunct Ceres, it's bringing this idea of food and how we take care of the planet and how we grow our food. How many pesticides are we using out in those fields that then seeps into the water systems? The water tables are very high here where we live, which means it's like very thin soil before, you know, whatever they put on the top seeps down into the water tables. And the animals that are low, eating low on the food chain. And then the eagles and the coyotes and the animals that eat the smaller animals. And I mean, the effects are huge when we don't take care of the things that we can take care of. So if you have a garden, grow it naturally, right? If you have a large agricultural element in your community, work with the authorities there to make sure they grow as organically as they can. And you, by using your dollars to buy organic foods, can really pressure the market. I know I never have been a big Walmart shopper. I've never really liked Walmart. But one of the things that really convinced me not to shop there was the fact they didn't carry organic foods. So I naturally moved to stores that they had fresh organic produce, where they were bringing in more and more organic milk, eggs, cheese, etc., buying from local markets, local producers, and putting those products in their stores. So I prefer, even if it does cost me a little bit more money, to put my dollars there. And that's what I encourage all of you to do. That is what Ceres Conjunct Destiny is encouraging us to do, is to do what we can personally to support the earth. And not buy into the hype necessarily of global warming or of anything that people want to put out there to you that's happening, because the earth can take care of herself. She is a big girl, right? But we also have to do our part because she's our home, right? Just like we go through and we dust and we clean and we, you know, make sure our homes are in good condition. Earth is our home. So we have to do what we can to protect her as well. And so one of the other last things about Ceres is she also represents love, loss, and letting go, right? Remember in the myths, she had to let go of her daughter, Persephone, she had to release her to Hades, Pluto, the underworld for 6 months of the year, which is why we have the representation of Ceres coming in and allowing the natural vegetation to die off and her mourning, if you will, the loss of her daughter. And then Persephone comes back in the spring, and she then again begins the growth and fertility of the planet. Keenly aware then that there are these natural cycles that go on, and that we are all in some ways holding on to things that we need to be able to release and let go of. Oops, I just hit the mic. Hopefully that hurts your ears. So I didn't necessarily know what I was going to talk about this morning, but the sun gave me an opportunity to talk about this. And the real reason why Ceres was, besides the fact she's conjunct the North Node, is the fact that it is the inner planets right now, the ones that affect you and affect me, that she is in aspect to, where a lot of times, you know, there's maybe a couple aspects going on with the outer planets, a couple of things going on with the inner planets. She's squarely in conjunction, or she's in a trine with the moon and with Mercury. She's in a sextile with Venus, and she's in a square to the sun, which means for us, all of those are inner planets. So it's really being shown to us that we have the responsibility. At this point, I don't think she's making any aspects to any of the outer planets. No, the only other aspects she's making are to the North Node and the South Node, destiny and karma, right? Destiny, the opposite side is karma. So she's in an opposition to karma. She's in a conjunction with destiny. She's in a smooth moving aspect with the moon and with Mercury, using our gifts and talents and realigning our values is the theme she's connected to with Venus. And she's squaring that sun, and the sun being that body that we talked about, that's already in a low energy wave right now, cooling down as it were, which eventually cools down our planet and acts to create evolution here. So they're working together, I think, to make some big changes. So one other thing I want to talk about, what time am I? I mean, I'm doing good on time this morning. This is a heads up, if you will, a heads up in that there are a couple of inner planets that, besides Mercury, doing the dance of the retrograde. I wish I was a songwriter. I could write a song about the dance of the retrogrades. And that is the planet Mars. And as I was talking to someone else yesterday about the planet Mars, and I'm sorry, I'm looking away. I'm trying to find the piece of paper where I wrote all my cheat notes on, and apparently I've hidden it from myself, which is not unbelievable. Okay, well, it'll pop up in my face here in a minute. All right, it disappeared. No worries. The little fairies took it off and ran with it somewhere. No, that's not it either. So Mars is the planet of action and confrontation. It's dynamic, right? It has motion. It is the planet literally that we rely upon to get things going, to get things moving, to keep things moving. But every 2 years, the planet Mars, just like Mercury does, goes retrograde. And for now, we are slowing down. Mars is slowing down to get ready to retrograde. Literally, we enter the shadow period May 12th, so a week from Saturday. And like Mercury, there's a shadow period, a time of it crossing through the territory it will be retrograding through. Then there's the actual retrograde and the slow movement backwards, where it backs up against all of the energy it's already passed through. And then it turns to forward and moves on. And that whole entire cycle then, when it's done, has been a long-term emphasis on certain degrees of the zodiac. So on May 12th, Mars is going to be moving into the zone where it will be retrograding. And that's going to be at 9 Aquarius. And so May 12th, wow, that's a long retrograde. That's a long shadow, because it doesn't turn retrograde until June 26th. So what we'll feel in ourselves is the slowing down of the motions, right? The slowing down of the actions in preparation for that retrograde. So the reason I want to share this with you is because there's going to be so much happening from, you know, the 13th. Remember, we talked about the Mercury moving into Taurus, and then the new moon in Taurus, the Uranus moving into Taurus, and then Mars squaring Uranus in from Taurus to Aquarius. So there's this high energy stuff happening, and then Mars slowing down. So there could be some high, powerful, high things happening, right? Very energetic. And then when Mars turns to retrograde, it kind of cuts the stream of action down and turns it inward. So in looking at some of these more evolutionary energies that are available for us at the moment, it feels like there's going to be like this jump into some kind of change and then a settling down of that change and a turning inward of it. And then when we get into September, October, it is finishing its cycle. Mars is finishing its retrograde cycle, just as Venus is going into her retrograde cycle. So we have this energy, I think, that feels, you know, like a rag doll when you're kind of womping her back and forth, you know, she's moving from one side to another. I have a feeling that is what we are going to be feeling like over the next several months as first Mars slows down, turns retrograde, then goes forward, planets changing signs. Now, there's nothing new here, really, right? This is something that we often feel. It just feels a little more intense and with more particles streaming in, cosmic energy screaming in. It is highly likely that life is going to take on a very weird, maybe chaotic, and at other times completely quiet time. I'm going to show you a comment Mimi just made. She said, giving us time to think about our actions before leaping. You know, that's important to think about here because when, like, for example, let's say you're starting a whole new project and, you know, it's okay right now. Mars is in full, you know, forward motion. There's no need to stop other than following your type, your strategy, and your authority in taking action. But you have to know that taking action now may slow down as time goes on. And then when you hit the retrograde, there isn't any more new dynamic action that you can take. At that point in time, it'll be more inward. And it could be like, maybe I've got to replan something. Maybe I've got to strengthen the foundation of something. Whatever it was that I was in the midst of creating, maybe it's time to take it inward. And if you're writing a book, for example, now maybe this is the time you're writing. And then the retrograde comes and it's time for the editing and the proofreading and all of that. So it's a natural thing that we go through every 2 years where the action, the outward action isn't favored, but the more inward action, the more behind the scenes action is favored. And so I would imagine there's going to be a lot of that sort of outward, inward kind of energy as time goes on. So it feels to me like maybe we are both evolving in the outer world and in the inner world. And the only thing I can really control is about what's going on in here and how I react to what's happening. So it's important for us all to be aware. And, you know, I don't sit here in the morning and tell you these things to scare the pants off you because that isn't my intention at all. It's to be aware, right? To be aware so that we're working with the stream of energy and not against the stream of energy. So I hope that helps, that you know ahead of time that this is coming, that we enter that shadow period. Now, on the outer world, I think this is what it looks like. Mars is crossing into Aries or Aquarius here in the next couple of days. It'll make it all the way to 9 Aquarius when it turns retrograde. And it'll retrograde backwards to Capricorn. Capricorn is a sign very traditional, where we take traditional actions and we do things that we've always done. And we kind of, it's an earth sign. So there's sometimes this necessity of holding true to some traditions, but there's also a hesitancy to take on new things. Well, Mars first moves into Aquarius that says, take on new things, do it a new way, use invention, use technology, be ready to embrace the world with, you know, invention and eccentricity and thinking about the new. And then it retrogrades backwards to Capricorn, back to the tradition. So the way I see this is when we are able to take the best of the past, to take the best of what we have right now, and then we can marry it with the best the future offers, and we can create something new here in the moment, right? Something new, something exciting. something that has maybe more sustainability, that has more longevity to it. And Mars is doing this dance in preparation for Jupiter and Saturn's conjunction in Aquarius in 2020. So that's a little bit more future looking, but that's what we're going to be dealing with, is how do we look at the future and how do we look at the past and bring the best of the both, what both offer, and bring it into this now and live from a place where we can be sustainable and where we can use technology in its highest and best, and not let technology go run away with us. Right. We don't want, I watch like things about AI, artificial intelligence and virtual realities and all of that. And I can see the draw for people to want to escape into these virtual realities, right? Because the world is painful. Dealing with the things that come up on a day-to-day basis in your life can be painful. And what better way than to escape to a place where all your actions happen in the moment? Right? All your dreams, your intentions, and everything you plan to do happens in that moment. You're creating it. Well, I think that life imitates art. And there's a possibility that there's the big lesson, right? That we can create everything that we need right here in the moment. That we don't need to go to an artificial world or create an artificial world for that. We can create it in the reality that we're in here. So I think the future looks really interesting. But I, as much as I like to look into the future, I also live in the now. So we also have to stay here, focused in the dimension that we're in, focused in the now, but always with the idea of what is the highest and best we want to create for our future. And those are some of the things that we could be looking at over the next few weeks as we wind down Mars's transits into retrograde status. And we'll talk more about that, I'm sure. I'm sure people are going to want to know in their personal charts where this is happening. And I think, you know, at some point we're going to need to do that, but, you know, have people tell me they want to look at their charts and see what Mars is doing, particularly if you feel like you, if you're an Aries, for sure, this is going to affect you. If you're a Scorpio, for sure, this is going to affect you because Mars co-rules Scorpio and rules the sign of Aries. And of course, you all have Aries and Scorpio somewhere in your chart. So you don't escape. It's just a level of degrees that you will be affected. So interesting times coming for us. I just realized Mars will be transiting over my natal Jupiter. That should be fun. That'll be fun. All right. Let's see. Does anybody have any questions out there that they want me to answer about what's going on? Definitely, Mimi, we are getting time to think and reevaluate before we take action. Suzanne says she loves awareness. Marlene, I think, is happy about this. Mimi has an Aries rising. What did that say? Aries rising, some effect indeed. Right. Now, depending on the degree of Aries rising for you, the early degrees may be straddling in your 12th house. So there may be unconscious processes that are at work for you. It depends on what the degree is of your rising sign. If you know that, put it here and I'll tell you whether it's going to be 12th house or is it going to be the first house. If it's the first house, then it's a personal transformation. Either way you look at it, it's in a very interesting place for you because your ascendant is likely involved and that makes it very personal to you. So this is why I don't put the mic on the right side, because I'm right-handed. And when I use my right hand, I knock the mic over. Mimi, let me check and see if, for example, I have your chart. And we can use you as a test subject for the moment. By the way, I have this entire file of people's charts. You know, chances are if you've done a reading with me, I have your chart in front of me. And Mimi, there you are. Your rising is in late Aries, Mimi, 23 degrees. So you will definitely be dealing with this in this week. Wow. So I'm sure people freak out when I have that reaction. And I'm sorry, it's not that it's a bad reaction. It's just like, your natal Aries, this is going to be fascinating. Because I think all of us probably have our natal Aries right around 9, 10, 11 degrees of Aries. So Aries is the goddess of discord. she's a beautiful goddess when you think about it, because she will come in and she will just destroy and recreate. She's the one that's been traveling around with Uranus that created a lot of the whole of the Arab Spring was probably because of that, the Occupy movement, the various revolutions and so forth being brought about by the discord she creates along with the awakening that Uranus brings. So for you with Mars retrograding completely back, well, first of all, moving forward to Eris, there's going to be a touch of discord in the mind, in the hidden recesses of your unconscious mind. You may become very aware of old patterns, things that have held you back, and you may just suddenly say, to heck with it all, I'm letting it all go in favor of just being who I want to be, doing my art the way I want to do it. She is definitely warrior energy. She is, what was her name? Xena. Was that her name? Xena, warrior princess. She reminds me of what the Amazon women would be about, you know, fierce and protective and strong-willed and knowing their minds, doing what is right for them, freedom-loving. And there's a lot of that energy that's going to pop up for you, but it's going to happen in such a deep recessed place that it could start out looking like self-sabotage. So like maybe I'm destroying everything in order to make something new. So be aware of that, because you don't have to destroy everything. That exact same thing that I just said about bringing the best of the past forward and then the brightest and best that the future holds and bringing it into the now. You know, what that looks like, for example, is there's always new technologies out there on the net. Like I'm always finding new ways to do my broadcast or how to get my work out there. There's always something new. There may be new techniques and new fabrics and things to work with in your artist's world, Mimi. So that may be the best and the brightest of what is coming, but there's something brilliant about the work that you're already doing. And on a subconscious level, blending them, right? Bringing them together, not succumbing to that discord part of you that may want to just throw over everything in favor of something completely new. And that may take some contemplation time on your part. You're going to get a triple whammy here of this, a triple whammy, because it's Mars is going forward up to 9 degrees. Of Aquarius, where your Eris is, retrograding backwards into Capricorn at 28 degrees Capricorn, and then going forward again up to 9 degrees of Aquarius and beyond. So you're going to get like a triple hit of this energy. And it's okay, because maybe it is a process that you're going through over the next few months of really bringing out the brilliance of your work and how it is that you're going to do that. But you want to be aware of the give and the take in that energy, right? When that energy is explosive and outward focused, and then when it's inward focused, and then when it is outward focused again. So back, there's that give and take, that breath. That's what it reminds me of, is the breath in and out, and that time in between where it comes to a stopping point. And Mimi saying, Janet, you are spot on. Love it. And slingshot forward. Yeah, that's sometimes what that feels like. So we're all experiencing that somewhere. And so, you know, that reminds me, tomorrow morning, maybe I will pull up some of your other charts. So let's see who's on. Marlene, send me your birth information. I'd love to pull a chart for you. Roseanne, I've got your chart. Suzanne, I'm going to pull your chart out. And we're going to, and Michelle, who doesn't get to listen to us much because it's a video and she's driving her daughter to school and she can't really be watching the video while she's driving, so she watches it later. But let's pull out a few charts and see where your natal Erises are, because now I'm a little more energized about this whole thing, because Eris being in the mix makes things very interesting and likely very transformative in some way, shape, or form. So Mimi, thank you so much for letting me use you as a guinea pig. And anybody else that wants to be a guinea pig, tell me. Just, you know, write it there on Facebook and I'll pull charts in the morning and we'll look at where Eris and Mars are messing around in your own personal charts. I think that would be fun. in the meantime, I think today is really, this is a great day. The sun is shining here. I'm going to do what I did last time, take my computer, go sit outside and do my work outside and enjoy the sunshine while I have it. And I hope that all of you could do something in that respect as well today. Do something you enjoy. By the way, I noticed this morning that Maxine Taylor, the guest that I had on a few weeks back, that her new Trumpology report is out. I haven't gotten to listen to it yet, but I just wanted to let you know that. And I think that's it for today. So everybody, Michelle Brooks, what is that? That is cute. I'm not sure what it is. Hold on, I'm going to bring it up. What is that? 10, 10, 60. Oh, Marlene, I'm going to write that down really quickly. 10, 10, 60. And I need the time and your city. And if you want to send that to me privately, you can do that. Janet Hickox, H-I-C-K-O-X, at gmail.com. A woman blowing on stars. I want that. How do I get that? I love it. I love it. So that little symbol that Michelle Brooks put up is a woman blowing on stars. I love it. It's like blowing out the birthday candles, only blowing out the star, blowing the stars. Yes, Suzanne, I do have your chart, so I don't need that. I've got it. So I'll pull it if you want me to do that. And Marlene, send me the time of birth and place. Oh, I got it. I just saw it. Was that AM? It looks like it was. And oh my gosh, Michelle, you have another one. So what is this one? A woman blowing on stars that you can really tell now. Beautiful. I love emojis. If you've ever written to me, you know, I love emojis. They're always filled with hearts and with the happy faces and any seasonal kind of thing I can find. I just love them. Private message. Okay, Marlene, thank you very much. All right. So laugh out loud. I know, such simple pleasures, right, Michelle? I just love those little things. Anyway, I love you all. I hope you all have a wonderful day. Make it a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, right here in the Meta Cafe. Bye for now.